You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
It's Sarah Goes to School Day.
Yay.
And
ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. Class is in session. Uh-huh. Ding, ding, ding.
Yes. Right.
We only have a couple more of these left on leadership because I'm about to graduate.
No way.
Already?
The third is my graduation.
Amazing.
I'm really excited to be wrapping this up. I feel like I just started.
I know. I feel like you just started.
Really long. So, So yes, we are wrapping up time on this version of Sarah Goes to School. We'll see if there's a round two of this starting in the fall. Details to follow. Right now, my current class is neuroscience and emotional intelligence. So I will be doing an episode on that because it's fascinating, but I'm only in week three, so can't do that yet. And then my capstone, we'll see. I should be able to get an episode out of that too. I don't know what I'm doing for my capstone yet, but
I bet you have ideas.
I have one front runner that I'm hoping I can do, and it's going to be fun. And it's
ladies, if you have ideas for what Sarah should do for her capstone in organizational leadership,
right,
let her know on our Facebook group.
Actually, yes.
Also Insta.
I would be very interested to know what people think. That would be fun. So today's episode is on focus and productivity, which is super ironic because the last few days, my brain has been all over the place and not functioning, and I couldn't actually focus on my work. So it was like, oh, let's revisit what it means to actually focus on work. But putting a lot of these concepts from this book into action have really helped me with my focusing and productivity. And I started using a paper planner again this year, which has been fantastic so far. I mean, like, I'm what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks in, but it's been a game changer.
Okay.
And kind of letting go of the like hustle, productivity, do all the things at once kind of culture, because I feel like we're just constantly steeped in that. So the book, today's book is brought to you by... So this is Michael Hyatt's Free to Focus. Michael Hyatt is fairly popular. Maybe you guys have heard of him.
Yep.
He does a lot of stuff on leadership. And have you read this book, Rachel?
No.
You have a face. I don't know how to read this face.
It's okay. It's okay. Michael Hyatt was really big in my world a few years ago. Not that I read a lot of his work, but I worked with people who read a lot of his work.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well,
go ahead.
He's a favorite for a lot of people, and I can see why. I also read this with a grain of salt, as I do with most books, because I'm like, I don't like this part. I'm not going to do it. But the general idea behind what he does was really helpful for me, but I also cherry picked some stuff. So there's that. There's also a planner that goes along with this. If you're listening to this, or you look up his book and you're like, this is amazing, I want to go like full force into this, there's a planner. There's an entire productivity system that's even bigger than this book. We can put the link in the show notes. If you really want to get into this, you can. I think there's ways to implement his ideas into your own planner as well, which is kind of what I've been doing. You could buy the planner or not, whatever. But I think it's helpful to kind of just think through how you plan your week and stuff. So we'll get into that. Before I do that, though, I do just want to address productivity and success, because this has been on my mind for a while now, because I've been trying to kind of back out of a lot of stuff and or just practice saying no to things, which is really, really hard for me. I feel like we live in this like American Western culture of productivity and success over anything else, and it's really hard to get away from. Like, how many social media reels do you see every day that are about like how to hack your productivity and do more things, right?
Get off social media reels. That's why.
Right. And this book is also kind of that, which is why we're talking about it. But I know I feel this way. A lot of my friends struggle with this like constant need to be productive. And if I'm not productive, then I'm being lazy. And like, that's just a really unhealthy mindset. And
do you also have an inner monologue that asks you daily, what have you done to justify your existence today?
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Okay.
Which is like really, like, that's part of the reason I'm in therapy, right? Just so, like, it's okay to take a break, Sarah. It's really okay. So this book is kind of therapy for me too. And I know some of that is like nurture and how we're raised, but I think a lot of it is also, I mean, Protestant work ethic, right? American hustle culture. If you're not doing something, you must be lazy. Not true. Rest, I think, is also just demonized in our culture, at least in some spaces, and very much not in others. But we have this like push to go, 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 go. And even we're burned out, which is not healthy.
A value of quantity over quantity. No, sorry. Quantity over quality when it comes to getting things done.
Yeah.
Would you rather get 10 things done sort of well or one thing done very well?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is America. 10 things.
Right. 10 things, obviously. More. Always more. Which isn't helpful. Right? No. And technology doesn't help because, like, we can just do a lot and do all the things and think that we're multitasking, even though your brain literally can't multitask. It just moves really fast between projects, which is not the best way to do stuff. But I think it feels really easy. Like, we need to earn rest. At least for me, it does. I feel like I can't rest until I finish the stuff. My husband does not feel this way. So we make a good pair. More frustrating pair, depending on how you look at it. But like, rest is a gift, right? It's a gift from God. We don't have to earn it. It's given to us to receive and relax and recover, because we know from all of the science, right, that our bodies actually need that rest. And I will get... Sleep is actually in this productivity model.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
We'll get there. Okay. Yeah. We also have this theology of vocation. So I'm reading all of these books, and especially this one, through a theology of vocation. He does actually touch on that a little bit too, which I really appreciate in this. It's not just like, do all the things. It's like, think about how you're actually spending your time and who you're spending it with and how it's actually happening around you. But like, we're called to serve people around us, right? And it's not about how much money I can make, but how I'm using what God has given me to serve my neighbor. So obviously that doesn't mean you can't be successful. Mm-hmm. It's fine to be successful, but like, we know that that's not the end goal of everything that we're doing. So thinking about this from a vocational standpoint, how I can prioritize those vocations, maybe cut the fluff where I'm not doing what I should be doing, like scrolling social media. So this is the book, Free to Be Focused. Free to Be Focused. Free to Focus. I love the tagline. A total productivity system to achieve more by doing less. So sounds great, doesn't it?
Yeah, what's the catch?
Well, you got to get rid of stuff. That's the hard part.
Ooh.
Right?
That's a big catch.
All right. Yeah, it's a big catch. It is. But his model, because all of these things are models with steps, right, is... It's not an acronym, at least. Each of the three steps has three layers because right? Okay. I also think this is another one of those things that is applicable in the workplace. The book is very much written for like businessy stuff, but very much applicable to everybody any day, because we all have to plan our time, right? Mm-hmm. And so how you plan your time is dependent on what things you have to do and what vocations you're in. So I think regardless of where you are and what you're doing, having a system to planning your time and a system to say no to things is helpful regardless. The three steps, step number one, stop. Step number two, cut. And step number three, act.
Okay.
Step, cut, and act.
Step, cut, act. Got it.
Stop, cut, act. So step number one, stop. So before you like change anything or even start ripping up your planner, you gotta like stop and actually analyze what you're doing first to see what you're actually doing with your time, the stuff that you prioritize already. And this is where we ask why. Why are we doing the things that are on our calendars? Why are we saying yes to some things even if we don't want to? Why do we block out a time on Sunday morning to go to church? Because it's really important. Why do we maybe not have family dinner time at night, even though that's something that we want to prioritize? So I love this part, because asking why about something like this is really important. Knowing why you want to spend your time in certain ways, why your calendar looks the way it does right now, really important. So the first part of this is formulate. This is where we look at how we function in our relationships, all of the work we do, and ask, what do we actually want? Why do we want to be productive? What's the point? Efficiency, success, freedom, something else. And this might be different in different vocations. I think the freedom to serve in our vocations and steward our resources the best way possible, that would be like a big part of it for me. Because we also want to do like the right things, right? We don't want to do more. Mm. The whole point is not to do more, but you want to be spending your time in the right ways, in the ways that make the most sense. Maybe there is some form of efficiency and success there also, but like freedom to have more time with your family, to volunteer more at church, to put the most important things at the top of the priority list. Sounds pretty great to me. The second part of stop is evaluate. And this is where we look at everything we spend our time doing and consider what your goals are. We've talked about goals before.
We have.
Yes. So this is where passion and or proficiency is. This is how these goals are structured. Passion and or proficiency. And because sounds like geniuses, right? And there's actually a lot of overlap with working genius right here. Like the things that you love to do, the things that you don't love to do, but you're actually good at. So there's a chart with quadrants. Guys, there's more charts and quadrants.
Nice.
Yes. So the four quadrants here are, I'm just going to explain this. So the bottom axis, the x-axis, is increasing proficiency. The y-axis is increasing passion. Mm. And so you've got your drudgery zone, which is no passion, no proficiency, which is the stuff that you're not good at and you also hate doing. Mm-hmm. So,
but you have to do it sometimes.
You have to sometimes, yes. If you don't have to, those are the things you probably want to get rid of.
Gotcha.
It doesn't always happen, right? Let's see. The disinterest zone are the things that you're good at, but not passionate about. So high proficiency, low passion. Still stuff you may not be able to get rid of. These are the things that drain your energy. So like if we're talking working genius, these are probably like competency things. The stuff right in the middle. Mm-hmm. You can do it. You don't love it. Might have to do it. Distraction zone. Mm. Passionate, but not good at. This is the tricky one. It's the things you love to do, but maybe spend less time on them if you're not actually good at. Or these are the things that go in your bonus development zone that you're actually trying to move the needle on to get them into. The number one zone is the desire zone. So these are the things you're good at and you love to do. And essentially the overall theme of all of this is to keep the desire zone stuff and analyze the rest of it to see, is it worth keeping? Is it not worth keeping? Do you have to do it? Is it part of your vocation and you don't have a choice? Maybe if it's part of your vocation and you don't have a choice, you put it in your development zone and you actually try to gain either the passion or the proficiency to make it something that makes its way into your desire zone. Because then you have more joy doing those things that maybe live somewhere outside of your desire zone. So you get that little bonus zone for things that you actually want to move, right? So the whole point of all of this, if you really want to do this work, I had to because it was school. You make this chart and you go through every activity, every task that you do, and you label all of them in this chart. So then you can analyze it and think through all of the things. And it's a bit of busy work, but it was a really helpful exercise for me to think about how I spend all of my time and just analyze it a bit. Like, are there actually things that I'm doing that I don't need to be doing or I can delegate, which comes later? But the whole point right now in this stop thing is just put them all on paper and then we'll get to the analyzing part. Yeah.
Could you give us an example of what went in your passion proficiency square and give us an example of what went in your drudgery square?
I know the desire zone, writing and editing podcast content definitely landed up there.
Well, that's good news for all of us.
I know, right?
What a relief.
Yeah. Interviewing people, definitely in the desire zone. Drudgery zone, checking email. I mean, actually, I'm probably fairly good at it, but I don't enjoy doing it. Mm-hmm. Anything that's math definitely ends up in drudgery zone. Mm-hmm. That's just that I just don't enjoy doing math, and I can be okay at it, but I have to try very hard.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff. I think distraction zone, doing crocheting projects, it's fun, but I'm not really good at it.
Right. You're not going to have a second career as a crochet artist.
No.
So are you evaluating this? You could apply this anywhere.
Yeah.
He's not making the statement of you should apply this to your life. Like, it's okay to have crochet projects that you do.
Aaron says very, very clearly.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's not that the goal is not to efficientize your life complete, like top to bottom, have only passions.
No.
No.
Okay, you don't have to get rid of everything that isn't a desire zone, and you shouldn't. Like, that's also just not even possible. Like, none of us lives that way. His point is that, so this is, quote, true productivity to him is about doing more of what's in your desire zone and less of everything else, but not nothing of anything else. Mm. So the point of this section is to analyze and to just see because life is very fluid, right? And this can change too. I mean, 6 months down the road, you may be doing different things. You may have different proficiencies and passions. Like this, it's a fluid thing. But yes, you're not completely eliminating everything. Some stuff you may be able to delegate, which we'll get to. And some stuff you just have to learn how to live with it. But I think the question is valid of like, if either I don't enjoy it or I'm not good at it, is it worth doing? And the answer could be yes. And that's fine. But it might be no also. And that's just the the analysis of seeing what things you can actually cull. And also, if it's not proficiency and not passion, and it's something that you can say yes or no to doing, like events and dinners. And
like things, a preemptive thing.
Things that you have to add to your calendar. If, if you realize that you don't enjoy it and or you're not good at whatever it is, maybe that's a thing you just say no to the next time it comes up.
Yeah.
Like giving presentations somewhere that you have an option to be like, you know what? I don't actually enjoy doing that. Or I'm not actually, I don't actually think I'm that good at it. And maybe it was a development thing at one point and you're like, you know what? I think I'm actually going to spend my energy somewhere else. Then say no to it. And that's okay.
Yeah.
So like I go to some of my husband's work dinners and events, but not all of them.
Yeah.
Because I'm not particularly good at schmoozing. And I don't particularly enjoy it. And if I feel like it would be part of my vocation to go, then I go.
Yeah. Right.
But otherwise, I preemptively don't put it in the top square.
which is fine. And those are the decisions that you make. But if you have that why behind everything and you understand that like, this is a thing I'm saying yes to for this reason.
Right.
This time. And other times I will say no because it doesn't actually make sense for me to do it.
Exactly.
Having that understanding helps a lot when you're just deciding how to spend your time. So the third part of the stop, this is my favorite part, rejuvenate. So I love this because this is actually where rest comes in. Because rest is important in this model. You don't have to keep taking on more and more stuff. You actually need to take care of yourself too. And there's tons of studies out there about how workers who work longer hours, like over 50 hours a week, actually have less productivity because they don't get enough rest.
That makes sense.
There's science here too. And also theology. We just aren't meant to function in a way that doesn't have rest. So he actually lists seven basic principles of rejuvenation. Very basic stuff. Sleep, top of the list. Eat, move, connect, play, reflect, unplug. Like, those are all very good things.
Yeah.
And in his model, you actually put that stuff on your calendar. Like, you block time to do those things because they are that important.
Nice.
To rejuvenate your energy because energy is a finite resource.
It sure is.
But it's also renewable. Time, not renewable. We can't change it, right? You get what you get. But your energy, you use it, but then you also can, it's renewable. You get it back when you rest well enough and, you know, pour into all of these things or whatever that language is. So the whole point of this is that time is a fixed resource. We can't add any more seconds, but energy is renewable. So how do you balance that out in a way that makes sense and in a way that won't lead to burnout? Because burnout's terrible. All right. Step two, cut. If you love saying no to things, this is your time. This is where we're saying no to stuff.
Okay.
If you hate not, is this still my time?
This is a time of pruning and character growth for you. Speaking to myself here, because what you don't do is just as important as what you do do. It's starting to sound like that. So the first word is eliminate. This is really, really hard, but this is why you do the why part first. So you understand, looking at all the things you've written down, why you're doing the things you're doing. And this is the practice that I've had to do this. I want to do something, but do I need to do it this time? Is it really important to me? What am I missing if I don't? There's a community band that people keep telling me I should be in. And I really want to be in it because it would be fun, but I don't have time and it would make me even more tired. So right now, that's a no for me.
Right.
That isn't always a no, but it's a no to doing that right now because it's not a priority enough that I'm willing to spend that energy. So that kind of stuff. But it's this evaluation of what is good, what is not good. You evaluate all the things that come across your plate. It means maybe saying no to some good stuff because you want to say yes to other even better stuff. And that's really hard when there's a good thing that comes across your plate that you're like, this is a great thing, but I have to say no to it because there's going to be a better thing. And that principle, saying yes to one thing is saying no to something else, essentially, because you're going to be spending your time doing that thing instead of something else that may actually be more important. We've already gone through those four quadrants. So everything outside of that desire zone is up for elimination. Does not mean that you have to eliminate all of it. It just means that you're thinking through all of your options. Saying no to new things is really hard because that FOMO is really real, but we've kind of talked about that. Saying no to existing things is a tricky situation because if you've already agreed to do something, it's probably best to keep your word. But he says it might not hurt to try to negotiate your way out of something if it's something that you're really like, you know what, I agreed to this and I'm so sorry, but I need to back out of it for this reason. And be really honest about it. Like, don't skirt around the issue, but being really honest about it. He says a lot more about this in the book. So if you're like, ooh, I want to know more. I had extra paragraphs written here, but I realized it was too much. So read the book. He gives a ton of reasons for this. And then automating. So this is the second part. Take yourself out of the equation. This is kind of a fun part. So what can you automate in your life? And he has four different ways to do this. Self-automation. So this is creating rituals or routines that you don't have to think about. And the easiest one is like a bedtime routine. What are those tasks that you do in the same order all the time that you just do and you don't have to use your brain power? So the whole point with this automation is to take your brain out of the equation so things can happen without you having to spend that mental energy on it.
Right.
So like when you get to work, what are the tasks that you do in the same order every time you get to work or when you're leaving work or your morning routine? So those, when I'm making a soup for dinner, it's the same steps every time and I don't really have to think about it. So what are those routines, these rituals that you can kind of just take your brain out? Template automation. I love templates. I hate recreating work. This one might be more of a work thing, but it could work in a household too. If there's like a type of email that you always send or a same task that you do frequently. Oh, shopping lists. This is where the template comes
in.
Templates, right? Whatever. If there's a project or a part of a project that is always the same, like a packing list if you travel a lot, templatize that, man, so you don't have to think about it every time you do.
I have one ready to print out right now.
Beautiful. See, I'm already doing it. Process automation. Oh, this is the one that's a little bit more work focused. So like workflows in our projects when we're here in the building. This maybe, I don't know, maybe like homeschooling or something. If there's a process that is the same every time, same steps, same order. So this is where you look through your workflow, you document the steps, you optimize them, you test them, and then you share it. And then other people can also do that workflow. We're working through something like this for podcast posting because it's the same thing every time. Anybody could do it if they know the steps to it. So writing all that stuff down to take your brain and even yourself out of it. And then the fourth one is tech automation. This is one I don't really do because I don't really love doing all the tech stuff, but like the if this then that or the smart, all the smart features on all of your smart stuff where you like push a button and multiple things happen. Some people love this stuff. That's an
easy
one.
How about something as simple as automatic bill pay?
Yes.
That saved me like, you know, has saved me half an hour on a Saturday morning that I didn't really want to spend that way.
Right.
That's true. I do love that one. Yeah. So like anything that's tech that will automate parts of your life so that you don't have to worry about it is a great way to automate. Bottom line of this is that if you catch yourself thinking there must be a better way to do this, there probably is. And you can figure it out and implement it. All right. And the third part of cutting is delegating. It's scary, but also very freeing. And we talked about this also with Working Genius. If there's things in your competencies or your frustrations that you don't necessarily have to be doing that somebody else could be doing, delegating here is excellent. So anything outside of that desire zone, maybe especially in your drudgery zone, if you can delegate it and you don't have to be the person that does it, this is a great time to do that delegation. Maybe more chores. Give your kids more chores.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. And the truth is we're afraid to delegate because we're afraid that the people we delegate to will either resent us, resist us, or rebel against us.
And yes.
That's usually not the case. Usually they're like, okay, fine. Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah. Or high achievers And when we're like, oh, but I can do it better. It's like, but that doesn't matter.
No, it just needs to get done.
It just needs to get done. And somebody else might have a different process, but they're probably going to do it just as well. Mm-hmm. And again, this is in the book. It's a little bit more complex, but there's different layers or levels of delegation that I find really helpful, especially in the workspace of like, how much freedom are you giving the person? Is this a, I'm going to give you this task and I never want to hear about it again from you, like just go do it? Or is this a, I'm giving you a task and I need you to check in with me when you're completing all of the steps? Mm-hmm. Or I'm giving you this, but I also want you to work with me on it constantly, or at least check mm-hmm. in with me all the time to make sure that you're doing it right. And then I'll let you go. Mm-hmm. So like there's different, you don't have to just throw something at somebody and hope that they do it. Like there's a way to do it well mm-hmm. of teaching the person, using your workflows, doing it in a way that you set them up for success, but then you can also just not have your hands in it if you don't need your hands to be in it. You know, having expectations, having parameters, checking in without micromanaging, that's kind of the name of the game here with delegating in the workplace and in the home with chores mm-hmm. because chores have to get done.
They do.
And step three, act. This is where we're putting everything into action. And this is where my new fancy paper planner came in. And this is actually the reason why we're doing this, because I got the paper planner mm-hmm. and I realized that it makes doing the act part of this a lot easier. Since I already did the other steps of this in class, I could actually implement in real life IRL some of the things that are really helpful. Consolidate. This is like anti-multitasking. We are not built to multitask, mm-hmm. y'all. It's just not actually a thing. Your brain's just switching back and forth really fast. It's really draining. So this is not a new concept, but the key is to combine similar tasks together so you can block your time. Because mm-hmm. if you're able to do similar things together and spend more like deep thinking, deep work time, your brain is just more productive when you're able to do that. It's not always feasible because, you know, sometimes whatever things, schedules are crazy. But the more you're able to block stuff and block your calendar in a way that you can put things together that are similar, it is going to be easier to be more productive while working less hard at being more productive if you're able to get into that flow. Mm-hmm. Hyatt's got these three stages, which I think are helpful. So front stage, backstage, offstage. So thinking about life as this stage. And your front stage is the key things that you have to do. These are your main activities, the things that deliver results. For me, that's like recording podcasts, editing podcasts, planning social. That could also be like taking care of your house and family, tucking your kids in, helping with homework, cooking meals, homeschool time, like the stuff that has to get done, the stuff that delivers the results. Backstage mm-hmm. is all of the supporting work that happens to make those front stage things happen. So like writing an episode, researching an episode for me. This is like doing emails, doing maintenance and preparation, making grocery lists, arranging ride shares, the planning stuff that makes the front stage stuff happen. And mm-hmm. backstage work is still necessary. It's like these aren't, one's not better than the other. They both have to happen, but they are different types of work.
Okay.
And then your offstage is the one where you get to relax and spend time just being and rejuvenating and playing and restoring your energy. So planning your quote ideal week is about finding that balance between these three and actually putting all three of them on your calendar so that you actually have time blocked out to do front stage, backstage, and that very important offstage rest. Designate. This is where we prioritize. And this is the biggest change that I've made with my paper planner. So I very much struggle to find a calendar that works at work. My home life is mostly online just because coordinating between my husband and I, we, you know, Google Calendar, Google Keep, Google Notes, all of that stuff. Very helpful for home life. That does not work with my work life. I've tried Trello. I've tried online stuff, but it gets hidden on my computer way too easily. So it just, I try it and it works for like a week and then I forget about it and I purposely ignore it and it doesn't work anymore. So, I went back to just putting sticky notes on my computer and just, I reset my sticky note every day. And that was working until I became a supervisor and I had to also keep track of supervisory things and bigger and long-term stuff that had more steps involved. I'm like, okay, these sticky notes are not working anymore. And that was near the end of last year. So I decided, I was like, I'm going to do a paper planner again because obviously I do better when I write stuff down, and I know that. And I'm just gonna, like, I work with people who love digital stuff. So I felt like I was like, I needed to do the digital. It just doesn't work for me. And I gave into it, and it's been working beautifully. Like, I'm actually keeping track of work. I'm writing stuff ahead in my calendar. It's been amazing. The coolest part of this planner is that it automatically gives me my weekly big three, which is part of planning this ideal week. And then I write in my daily big three. So what are those? We have a week design. We have a day design. So in the week design, you're planning your ideal week. So you look back at your last week and you say, what are your wins? What things went well? What are my goals? And then looking at all of that and analyzing, you come up with the three, the big three for your week. So this week, what are the biggest three things I need to get done? And those are the three things that you do, like, regardless. That's what you get done. And then your big three is where you take three key tasks that relate to those weekly big three. And those are the three things you're going to get done that day. And it's that, I mean, it sounds really simple, but it's difficult to implement because, you know, schedules get thrown off and you have stuff come up and you have fires to put out. But having those three, the weekly three, the daily three, have been really helpful for me to just focus. And you do that every night. So every time, every day before I leave work, I write those daily big threes for the next day. So when I come in,
they're already set.
They're already there. I already know what I'm doing tomorrow when I come in. So there's no like getting into work and going, oh no, I don't know what I'm going to do today because blah. So it does make the morning of getting to work much easier. And I mean, you can do this in any scenario in your life of planning your next day the night before. So just so you have a flow and you don't get stuck because you're tired in the morning and don't want to think about it. And activate. The final step, activate. The final step, a big part of implementation is limiting interruption. So that's, this is the part where it's like you got to kind of look at your workspace, how you're setting yourself up for success. So that includes turning off notifications that annoy you, like Teams. If you don't need the notifications on your computer or your phone, just turn them off. Like, you don't need them. Putting your phone in a different spot so you don't keep looking at it. Turning off notifications on your smartwatch so it doesn't buzz every 3 seconds. Those things that will limit your interruptions, because we don't have to give an immediate response to everybody. It's really okay. If someone needs to find you, they will find you. Unless you completely hide away. And that's okay too. Life will go on. Setting boundaries for other things is really helpful. Maybe you do have to disappear for a little while. Sometimes I disappear into the studio to get stuff done because quiet. Not checking social.
Soundproof.
It is soundproof. Not checking social media every 10 minutes because that just interrupts your brain and takes you out of your deep work, and it's not helpful for your flow. Having music can be really helpful if that's helpful for you. I know that's not helpful for anybody, but I have certain playlists on Spotify. I have my paper writing playlist. It's only Murders in the Building soundtracks for all of their seasons, and for whatever reason, that gets my brain into paper writing mode, and it works like a charm. I turn it on. My brain's like, we're going to go.
I plug in my headphones, and I turn on ambient bird song. That's the one that helps me filter everything else out.
A lot of times I put my earbuds in and I don't actually turn anything on because that gives me nice brown noise because we work in cubicles and you can hear people talking. And if I can't tune it out, but I also don't want music, I just put my earbuds in and then there's something, but it's not music. It's just nice. So like, think about your workspace, how you can set yourself up for success. Maybe there's some decluttering you can do. I need to declutter stuff, but like the visual clutter of distracting your brain. That includes on your computer, just to kind of help you focus better when you need to focus, you're able to for longer than like 15 minutes, unless you only have 15 minutes blocked. This is the whole system. It's a lot, but I like how it kind of helps you think through everything that you're doing and think about why you're doing the things you're doing and really putting on your calendar the stuff that you actually want to happen and blocking things in a way. Oh, calendar blocking is one of those ways you can nicely say no to somebody like, oh, sorry, my calendar's blocked for something else that's called family time. And that's a perfectly valid reason to say no to something.
Right. Yeah.
So I think there's just a lot of helpful ideas and strategies to think through this productivity and productivity culture and just stepping back from some of it. Like, we still have to get stuff done. That's the whole point of like being an employee. You do actually have to do work. Mm-hmm. But like, there's a way to formulate it so that it's easier to actually focus. And if it's easier to focus, then it's easier to do the stuff. And then you're not just so exhausted all the time from having to think really hard. So there we are. That is Michael Hyatt's Free to Focus. I have personally done some of this stuff and it's been really helpful. What do you guys think? Awesome.
It sounds like there's some, I mean, there are definitely some great, great suggestions in there. The idea of intentionally analyzing and then deciding what can you prioritize and sort of just being very intentional about it. It's sort of a, you have to step back and look at it. But once you do that, I can see, I know for myself, the things that are routine for me are the things that I do. And so I've often thought about the fact that, oh, if I want something new, I need to figure out a way to get it into a routine. And the most routine part of my life is my mornings. And I don't like my mornings, but that is the time when I'm on autopilot. And so if I want to do it, that's when it's most likely to get done. And so I struggle with it. But I do also know that the things that are on my routine, those are the ones that I get done. If it's not in that part of my day, it is more likely to get cut or, you know, bumped by something else. And, you know,
Well, maybe right there is an answer. You know, if it's not important enough to you to be worth elbowing in to an established effective routine, maybe that's it's not too. That important.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. There is that.
Yeah.
So I find this really useful and I think it's applicable in way more than just business setting and all aspects of our life. You know, our lives are basically made up of different tasks.
Yep.
You know, fun tasks, hard tasks, tedious tasks, etc. And being able to look at them all and say more is not necessarily better. Mm-hmm. And how can I create this like paradigm, this framework, which I can use not just to clean up the tasks that are already on my plate, but also to know when and how to say yes or no to opportunities that come my way.
Yeah.
I tend to say yes to a lot and sometimes I regret it later. So to do the thinking ahead of time to think, okay, what are the categories of things that are definitely in my wheelhouse?
Yeah.
And what are the categories of things that I should just say, you know what? This is not my thing. Mm-hmm. You should ask somebody who is more passionate, more proficient. Just because I could do it doesn't mean I should.
Yeah.
Like that those types of conversations take courage, but that courage is easier to find if you've already thought through your rationale ahead of time.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I get all caught up in the excitement of new things because new things are fun.
Oh, yeah.
So I end up agreeing to do new things. And then 3 days later, I'm like, oh, I don't actually have time for that. Yeah. So that's a spot where I'm still having some character growth. Don't have to say yes, Sarah. Learning to say either I'll think about it and get back to you if it's something that I might possibly want to do, or just say, you know what? I don't have time for that. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But here's a person that might be able to do it. That's part
throw someone else under the bus.
Yeah. But, you know, when I was going around church, I termed out of my time as secretary of our board, and I was tasked with asking people if they would serve. And two of them said immediately, thank you for considering me, but this is not something I would enjoy or be good at. So I'm going to say no, but I appreciate you asking me. And I was like, thank you for just saying no. That was amazing. And then they were like, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, don't apologize. I'm very proud of you for just saying no. This is not my thing. Like, that is great.
Teach me your secrets, oh wise ones.
Right. Like, it is really okay. And that's a whole nother soapbox. But like, I don't have to do everything because there are other people who are just as good, if not better, at doing a lot of those tasks. Like, I don't have to serve in every way because other people also need to serve. Sometimes you just have to step back and let other people also serve, and it's your time to rest or something.
Whole body of Christ is a Sarah. Where would the Rachel be?
Exactly.
Actually, the Sarah and the Rachel are probably inhabiting similar spaces in their respective communities.
Probably, yes.
Well, there's two eyes.
That's true. Perfect.
Oh, on that note, ladies, if this is interesting to you or you have suggestions or ideas or ways that you want to implement this, I'd love to hear about it. In our Facebook group, the Lutheran Ladies Lounge on Facebook, also on our Instagram page at Lutheran Ladies Lounge. You can also find all of our episodes at KFUO.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at KFUO.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us, too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at KFUO.org/give.